go on to our next speaker, who is Sudhi Mariappa. Sudhi is one of my oldest friends. We worked together when he was at Salomon Tokyo. He is now the global head of risk management at PIMCO, which is a very large fixed income investment management firm. Sudhi, why don't you start?
Great. Larry asked me to talk a little bit about the markets, and I said, God, you know, very vast subjects. So let me narrow in and see what's at the heart of the markets these days, which is really what we use to discount a lot of our valuations, the fixed income market or the rates markets. So what I'm going to talk to you a little bit is what's happened in the fixed income market, what's changed, you know, what's changed around expectations, whether it be around the Fed or inflation expectations given fiscal policy, and what it means for markets overall. Rates are higher. If we think about the discount rates or the rate, the benchmark rate for so many assets, it's really the 10-year treasury rate, which is close to 1.7%. That's up 75 basis points since the beginning of the year, back to the level we saw in 2019. This move up in rates hasn't really been an orderly trend, but kind of a bumpy ride for both rates and other asset classes. We've got a lot of government supply. For example, in February, we had a very weak 7-year auction of $60 billion 7-year treasuries. The tail in the auction was 4 basis points, and intraday, rates moved about 20 basis points, which is 3 to 4 times what we normally expect. That was the weakest price action following supply since the taper tantrum back in 2014. Rates have also moved in the real economy. What we're seeing is mortgage rates right now around 3.25%. That's from a low we saw a little while back at 2.5%. Surely it's causing some consternation among the tens of thousands of newly minted mortgage bankers and real estate agents. Back in February, along with the move up in rates, we saw the tech sector lose over $1 trillion in market cap. Coincidence? You know, perhaps. This is all even with a backdrop as the Fed reminds us they're at zero rates for policy rates and plan to be there for a while. So what's driving this change in the markets? You know, I'll pause here for a second and say I have a bit of caution about causality and narratives in the market, because when I think back to Nobel laureate Richard Thaler, he uses a 2003 quote. The headline was, "Equities up, Saddam Hussein captured." Later in the day, as prices retreated, it said, "Equities down, Saddam Hussein captured." So with this disclaimer, my narrative is that the changes the market's pricing is just some shifts in one, Fed policy and how the Fed will operate, two, the fiscal stimulus that we'll see and some concerns about fiscal policy trajectory, coupled with the growing optimism of the reopening of the post-COVID economy. So when we step back and think about bond yields, I'd like to use a very simple framework, which is bond yields really are a combination of policy rates, overnight policy rates, inflation expectations over time, and a term premium. The first change in terms of policy rates of the Fed, last summer, the Fed clearly stated their mandate is full employment, but in big bold letters, it's broad and inclusive full employment. And for us not to think about a simple inflation target of 2% PCE, but an average target of 2%, allowing for greater price increases than the Fed target. Second, in addition to the Fed, we talk about fiscal policy expectations, because news should be discounted in the market. What changed? What was the surprise? At the start of the year, I think very few of us would have anticipated a fiscal package or fiscal stimulus the size we've seen of $1.9 trillion before we had that change of control in the Senate. Just on a side note, you know, many of my friends that have expressed concern about this fiscal package, we're not that concerned in 2018 when we also had a $1.9 trillion package that was passed with an economy that had a much lower unemployment rate. So if we think about policy rates and inflation, what's the market pricing in right now? The way we tease that out is really looking at the forward rate or what the market is implying for the forward rate in the future. So if we look at 5-year rate in 5 years time, that 5-year forward 5-year rate in the treasury market is around 2.5%. if we look at what the Fed put out as a summary in their summary of economic projections, their longer-term dot on where Fed policy would go is also 2.5%. Back in 2018, the Fed did raise rates up to 2.5%, and what we started to see was the interest rate-sensitive sectors in the economy actually started to turn over. We did start seeing some slowdown. So that could possibly see the direction or the ultimate direction of where Fed policy rates may be and what the market's pricing in. The second thing that we can look for in terms of besides policy rates is, again, that inflation expectations. We look at the TIPS market for that. The TIPS market really shows us what's real return, what's the compensation over inflation you should expect. And when we tease out that same five-year forward, five-year rate, that says that you should get about 0.4% over CPI as your compensation. That is the real rate in forward space. It also teases out a forward inflation rate of 2.4% for CPI, which is slightly different than PCE, but very close to the PCE target for the Fed. So despite all the headlines on inflation expectations and concern, we have seen some volatility, but the actual pricing in the bond market is looking through any near-term rise in inflation prints that we may see with the post-COVID opening and the 6-8% economic growth we're likely to see this year. The rates are more in line with longer-term trend growth and probably reincorporating the fact that we can't look at rates just in isolation in the U.S. We have to look at the fact that global monetary policy and global rates are very low and global monetary policy is very accommodative. If I pause and say, what does this mean for markets? Inflation expectations and concern about fiscal policy will likely remain, and the market may continue to be focused on the upside risks to inflation, despite the fact that we've been under the Fed target for the last 10 years. That near-term volatility may remain elevated. So we should anticipate spillover into other markets, especially if that rise in yield is more that rise in real yield or the compensation you require over inflation. On the flip side, what could cause bond yields to come down? Well, risk premiums are skinny. Asset valuations are in some sectors are frothy. So bond yields should act as a good portfolio diversifier, especially when we start thinking about these projected cash flow and earnings expectations in 2027, 28, 29 that people quote in pricing assets. Once they start to look shaky, bonds will look better. You know, in one of the signs that I always thought about was in The Big Short in the movie, when they think about causality, said one of the quote is, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so.
That's fantastic, Sudhi. Thank you.